Welcome to Tara Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we will be studying Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Kaf Aleph, Chapter 21. Quick recap of what we learned yesterday in Perek Kaf. Klal Yisrael had been commanded to set up Ari Miklat, which was a city designated for someone who had killed another person by accident. It was a place that they could run to take refuge from the family members of the person who'd been murdered who may want to murder back. We saw the six cities of refuge listed, with three in Eretz Yisrael and three Me'ever HaYarden on the eastern banks of the Yarden. In our parak today, Kaf Aleph, the heads of the tribe of Levi approach Yehoshua to receive their cities. They had already received the six Ari Miklat, but now they would like the other 42 cities that had been set aside and promised to them by Moshe. And each city is going to be given to the different families in Shevet Levi by different tribes. The distribution of all of the nachalos will be complete, and Klal Yisrael now lack for nothing. We clearly see how Yehoshua has followed exactly what Moshe has described in the Torah. First conquer the land, then divide the land, then give out the Ari Miklat, and then apportion the Ari Levim. And now it is the time for the Levim to receive their cities. We have previously discussed how the root of the Levim's actions in the story of Shechem, which caused Yaakov to say, Achalkei me'Yaakov v'yafitzem b'Yisrael, which many of the Mefarshim say the Afitzem b'Yisrael was a reference to Shevet Levi, that was the kina, l'shem shamayim, the azus de kedusha, the holy passion of Levi, which caused him to act as he did in Shechem. And therefore, we understood that it was a beautiful thing that all of Klal Yisrael would now benefit from this azus de kedusha, this holy energy that would bring Jews closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by copying the actions of the Levim. And now we see the Levim asking for these cities that they can live in them. The Rambam in Hilcha Shmita and Yovel tells us that the Levim's job was so important that they didn't have time to engage in regular work, as they needed to be so completely focused on their job of learning Torah and bringing others closer to Hashem. In his word, Mipnei Shehuvdal La'avavod Es Hashem L'Sharso L'Haris Derachav HaYisharim Mishpatav HaTzadikim L'Rabim, they were separated out to serve Hashem and to show others how to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the correct ways to live. L'fichach Huvdalu Midarchei HaOlam, therefore they were separated out from having to be involved in regular life. L'Archim Mochama, they weren't sent out to walk Sha'ar Yisrael like other members of Klal Yisrael. V'lo Nochalim, they didn't receive an actual Nachala, their own portion. V'lo Zochin La'atzman B'koch Kufon, and they didn't even have to use their own physical labor to go out to work to earn their food. Elahim Chayel Chayel Hashem, rather they were HaKadosh Baruch Hu's legion. Pasuk Aleph, Vayigshu Rashi Avos Halavim, and the heads of the tribe of Levim drew near El Elazar HaKohen, to Elazar the Kohen, Ve'el Yehoshua bin Nun, and to Yehoshua bin Nun, Ve'el Rashi Avos Hamatos Livnei Yisrael, and to the heads of the other tribes of Bnei Yisrael. So the Me'am Lo'ez and the Chidah both point out that the word Vayigash always means appeasement. This is what the Medrash tells us on Bereshit Mem Daled with regards to the story of Vayigash Elav Yehuda. On those words over there, the Medrash tells us the word Vayigash always means to step forward to appease someone. In Parshas Vayigash, it was Yehuda stepping forward to appease Yosef. But what is the word Vayigash over here supposed to teach us? Me'am Lo'ez points out that the heads of the different Levim families came to Elazar to sort of address a claim that had been brought against them. The other tribes had said that since the Ari Levim, and certainly the ones, Me'ever HaYarden, the three Ari Miklat, which they had all known about, because Moshe had already told them that Betzer, Ramos, Gilad, and Golan, Babashan were Ari Miklat, and therefore they belonged to the Levim. And since, say the other tribes, that you Levim never attempted to settle them, now you couldn't claim that they were yours. You never showed interest in them back then. Now, how can you claim that they are rightfully yours? And the Levim said, listen, we didn't claim or settle them back then because the Mishkan hadn't yet been set up in Shiloh. And we felt that our job, determining who was Tahar, able to bring a korban, etc., wasn't necessarily yet needed. It wasn't in effect. But now that the Mishkan has been set up, we want to claim our land. This is our land. These are our cities, and we'd like to move into them. And that's why in Pasuk Beis, it says, Pasuk Beis, V'yidabru Alehim B'Shilo B'Eretz Kanaan. They spoke to them there in Shiloh in Eretz Kanaan. The they is a reference to the other tribes. So they came up to Elazar with Yehoshua watching, but also the other tribes standing there, and they said, listen, we're here to make our claim on this piece of land. The pasuk continues, pasuk base, Lemar Hashem tziva biyad Moshe. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, commanded through the hands of Moshe, laseis lanu arim, to give us these cities, lasheves umigreshehen, to dwell in them, umigreshehen, and their bordering areas, the lands around them, the open land around them, levhemtenu, for our cattle. I want to spend a few moments focusing on what lasheves and umigreshehen mean. So lasheves over here, to dwell, the Arbar Benel quotes the Gemara Makos, Daf Yud Beis Amad Aleph, and says that lasheves has sort of a sense of non-permanence. The Levim never owned these cities. They didn't bury their dead in them. They didn't change the names of the cities in any way at all. And in fact, the Meshech Chachma on Parshas Maseh, Perek Lamate, Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, Shemishacharav Mikdash Rishon, Botlu Are Migrash Lalevim. V'im Kain, as lo hayu b'ayisheni shayachim lalevim ha'arim shalahem. That after the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the Levim never ever really got those cities back. And we find that through the entire period of Bayis Sheni, these 42 Ari Levim never existed. It is a bit of a debate if the 6 Ari Miklat were operating during Bayis Sheni. Umigreshehen, what does it mean? The open land for their cattle that surrounded the city. So there's a lot of debate in the Gemara and a few different places exactly how large this open land around each of the Ari Levim had to be. Most of the discussions understand that it was about 2,000 amos. The first 1,000 amos was an area that wasn't allowed to have any houses, fields or vineyards, nothing at all. It was just pure open space, sort of like a green belt and a green lung around the cities. And then the next 1,000 amos was an area that vineyards and fields could be placed on. I think it is fascinating to point out that one of the cities of the Ari Levim, we're going to see that Gezer, which was a city in the Nachala of Ephraim that they gave to the Levim, when they did archaeological sort of digs around Gezer, they found a number of rocks with the inscription Tuchum Gezer, Gezer's boundary, written on them. They found quite a few of these rocks, and they were all about a distance of 2,000 amos away. They only found them on two sides of the city. They didn't find them entirely all the way around. Now, these rocks date to somewhere the second half of Bayis Sheni period, so it's very likely these rocks didn't necessarily delineate at that point the boundaries of the city for the city of Levim. But, you know, it may have been that these were boundary rocks to show us where Tchum Shabbos was. But it's also very possible these boundary rocks were set up based on earlier boundary rocks that may have been there, which were from Bayis Rishon times, which would have delineated the exact border, the 2,000 amos around the city of Gezer. Pasuk Gimel, Vayitnu b'nei Yisrael lalevim menachalasam, and all of the Jews give to the Levim from their own inheritances. Al pi Hashem, this is exactly what Hashem had said should happen. Es ha'arim ha'ela, these cities ve'es migrasheihen, the following cities with all the land that surrounds them. Now we are going to have described the allocation to the different Levim families, which were Gershon, Kohath, Merari, and the Kohanim, who although they're from Kohath, are their own family group. How did the lottery exactly work? So these tribes, the 12 tribes were divided into 4 different groups. And each group then designated a different number of cities in their nachalos to the Levim. So in Pasuk Dalid, Vayetze ha-goral mishpachas ha-kahasi, this is how much after the goral was done that the family of Kahas got. And now we're talking about Vayehi livnei Aaron ha-kohen, the part of Kahas that was specifically the Kohanim. They got Yehuda, Shimon and Binyamin. It was from those 3 tribes that they were assigned cities, and they got Shlosh Esrei. They got 13 cities. Pasuk Hei, V'livnei Kohas, Hanosarim, and the remainder of the tribe of Kohas, they were given from Ephraim, Dan, and from Chatzi, Shevet Menashe. They were given Bagoral, Arim Eser, 10 cities. Pasuk Vav, V'livnei Gershon, Mishpachas, and Hit Mimishpachos, and from Gershon, their families got from Yisachar, Mimate Asher, and Mimate Naphtali, Ummachatzi Mate Manasseh. They got from Yisachar, Asher, Naphtali, and from half of the tribe of Manasseh, they were gifted with Shlosh Esrei, 13. And in Pasuk Zayin, Livnei Merari Limishbachosam, Immate Reuven, Immate God, Immate Zevulun, they received from the tribes of Reuven, God, and Zevulun, Arim Shteim Esrei, 12 cities. And this was all done exactly as Moshe had commanded them from Hashem, Pasuk Ches, Vayitnu Bnei Yisrael Lalevim Es Arim Ha'ela Ves Mirgoshim, Ka'asher Tziva Hashem B'yad Moshe Bagorel. All done by lottery, but exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded Moshe. And now we are described even more details of the actual breakdown. We're going to hear exactly which cities were given within these Nachalos. Malbim has a beautiful way of explaining the connection between the different areas that the different Levim families got, how it was apportioned according to the particular tasks that these different families had. So first up is Aaron's family, the Kohanim, and they were the ones who were in day-to-day contact with the actual Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they received their cities in the Nachal of Yehuda, Binyamin, and Shimon. This makes so much sense. This is the closest to the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is going to be delineated in Pesukim Tes to Yud Tes 9 to 19. The rest of Kohas, who had also been involved in carrying the Aron and the other Kalim in the Midbar, they received their land in Ephraim, Dan, and half of Manasseh, again, close to the Beis HaMikdash. This is delineated in Pesukim Kaf to Kafav, Pasuk Kaf Zion. We hear about Gershon's family. They had carried the Urios, the curtains, the draperies, which again was very holy, but it was still less holy than Kohas, and therefore they were slightly further out in the territories of Yisachar, Asher, and Naphtali, and half of Manasseh, and Merari, last of all, who carried the walls, were even further out, and they were given land, Me'eva Haryaridein, on the eastern bank with Reuven and God, and they also received cities in the portion of Zevulun. The last few pesukim of this parak are incredibly beautiful. Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, and Mem Gimel. We'll read them slowly and then go through the Malbim's explanation on it. Vayitin Hashem Yisrael es kol ha'aretz asher nishva lasis la'avosam. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael all the land that he had sworn to give them to their forefathers, v'yirashuha. They possess it, v'yeshuva, and now they dwell in it. Pasuk Mem Beis, v'yanach Hashem lahem misaviv, kochal asher nishva la'avosam. And Hashem gave them chance to rest, just like he'd sworn to their forefathers, v'lo amad ish mipneihem, and no man stood up in front of them, mikol oyveihem, from all their enemies, as kol oyveihem, nasan Hashem biyadam, because all of their enemies Hashem had given over into their hands. Pasuk mem gimel, lo nafal davar mikol hadavar hatov, asher dibar Hashem al beis Yisrael hakolba, nothing had failed from all the good things HaKadosh Baruch had promised to Am Yisrael, to the house of Israel. All of it came to pass. And Malbim breaks it down so beautifully. He says, "Vayitein in pasuk mem aleph, vayitein shenasan lahem haaret b'matana kamo sheivtiach la'avos." This vayitein, they were given it. This was the fulfillment of the promise that the avos had received, and now it was being given. Now it was being fulfilled. The children of Yaakov and their children were settled in the land. Vayirishu, and they drove out the enemies. Again, this was how HaKadosh Baruch had promised to clear all the way away all the inhabitants of Canaan, and he'd helped Am Yisrael fight these holy wars and kept his word, Vayeshuva. And now each tribe dwelled in the territories that had been assigned to them. Vayanach Hashem lahem misaviv, shepaska mechamas ha'ayuvim. The Jews were now able to rest. The wars had ended, v'lo amad, and no enemy, no man stood up in front of them. And even though it's true, says the Malbim, that throughout these years, they did have to fight wars. There were enemies who stood up to fight them. These enemies came, but they were not filled with a fighting spirit. As Rachav had told Pinchas and Kali right at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, the Canaanites are just not feeling it. They're so afraid of you. So even though Klal Yisrael did have to fight their wars, says the Malbim, below Amad means that the enemies just didn't really have it in them to stand up to them properly. There had been so many nisim, so much hashkacha, and then lo nafal davar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left nothing out. Nothing was missing from all the promises Hashem had made to Moshe. It had all come to be. And says the Ralbag, if at this point there were certain lands that had not yet been fully conquered, this was not a lack on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part. Rather, Yehoshua and Am Yisrael, they had not completely finished driving out the remaining pockets of Canaanites. The brachas have come true. A nation settled in their land, an eternal promise fulfilled. Bayamim Hahim, Bazman Hazeh, Bezrat Hashem. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yoshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker, memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleinu Shalom, Neshot Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Hasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I hope everyone has a wonderful day.